In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and thou forgavest iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Call upon me in the day of trouble. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I call to you, save me. I rise before dawn and cry for help. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Call upon me in the day of trouble.
Lord, hear me.
Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis, the 18th chapter. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because of the cry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether what they have done altogether, according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous men within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 25 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Colossians, the 2nd chapter. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are shadows of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Their voice has gone out to all the earth. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give you anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of giving a fish, give a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here endeth the gospel. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." As the perfect man, our Lord Jesus was a man of prayer. Prayer, of course, can take many forms, but at its basis, it is the communion of the human heart with God. It is talking with God, whether out loud or in our inner minds. He speaks to us through the scriptures, and we speak back to him in prayer. And Christian prayer takes place even when we are not conscious of it. For if we are in Christ, and if we are temples of the Holy Spirit by his grace, which indeed we are, then the Holy Spirit himself is interceding for us always, taking our pleas before the throne of the Heavenly Father with groans too deep for words. Our Lord Christ, as the perfect man, was a man of prayer, always in conversation with his Father. And in order to teach us and to demonstrate this life of prayer for us and his disciples, he had a regular practice of prayer. Luke especially highlights Christ's habitual custom of intentional prayer, going off alone for a time to speak with his Father, as we see in verse 1 of today's text. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And of course, Christ's example is an example for us that setting aside time for intentional prayer is an important part of the Christian life. The disciples pick up on this when they see the Lord pray, and so they, in faith, ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. To this, Christ gives the Lord's Prayer, which is both the perfect example prayer for us to model our prayers from, and actually a prayer given to us to pray. In a different context, Christ also teaches the Lord's Prayer, and he says, "Pray like this," meaning, let this be an example for you how to pray. But here in Luke, he says, "When you pray, pray this," showing that the Lord's Prayer is also given to us as a gift to pray. And how wonderful it is when we are in desperate situations and struggle to know how to pray or for what to pray, that we have a prayer given to us by Christ himself. If Christ gives you a prayer, you know it's a pretty good one. We see here in the Lord's Prayer so much of what we can learn about prayer. Even in the opening words, "Father," or "Our Father," as Jesus teaches it elsewhere. In this way, we open and begin our prayers, and this is Christ's gift to us. Because of the forgiveness of sins we have in him, because we are made his brothers and sisters by grace and God's own children by his atoning blood and sacrifice, we come to God not as strangers, but as his dear children approaching their dear Father. And so what does this mean? We do not need to fear or fret about bringing anything to the Lord our God in prayer. Indeed, if we as earthly fathers, even being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more is it the case with our Heavenly Father? He will grant only that which is good and right, that which is helpful and valuable for your eternal good. What a gift it is that in Jesus Christ we with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we come to our dear Father, what are we to pray for? We are to pray for his kingdom and for the things of God, that his word might come to us, that it might open our ears and our hearts and our mind, that it might shape our very being, that it might build us up and lead our path. We pray that those near and those far, those in Kenya to whom the pains minister, and those of our own household, that they might be brought to God in the waters of holy baptism, that the kingdom of the devil might be continually robbed and pillaged so that the Christian family might ever expand. And we pray for faithfulness and steadfastness for all the baptized, most especially for ourselves, that we, with the help of the Spirit, might run the race of faith to the end. We pray that the supper might be our constant desire, that we might receive it in faith for the forgiveness of our sins, and it might strengthen us on our journey, and that it might never be taken from us. But we do not only pray for spiritual things. We also pray for our daily bread, for the Lord is the one who also gives us our body and soul and still takes care of them. We do not necessarily pray for extravagant wealth. Solomon was wise when he prayed, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." But we pray for our daily bread, for what is needed, for peace and for good government, for house and home, for faithful neighbors, and all things like this. And as we in this life sin and do not deserve the mercies of God, either that his kingdom would come to us or that we would receive our daily bread from his hands, we continue to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us." We ask God's forgiveness, knowing that we have it in Jesus Christ, and pray that that love flows out from us to our neighbor, so that we too might be forgiving. Finally, we end our prayers with a hearty amen. Amen is that more important teachings when he wants to emphasize this. "Truly, truly, I say unto you," Jesus says. And so, when we say amen at the end of our prayers, it is not just a period. It is not just an old-timey way of saying the end, but it is a bold confession that God has heard us, and our good and gracious Father will answer our prayers according to his good and gracious will. Which for liturgical instruction means, what should we do at the end of the prayers of the church? We should not mutter the amen, but with all boldness say amen. Now the difficulty there, that means you have to actually be listening during the prayers, right? And hear when the termination comes so that you can be ready to confess that amen. Now we might not, God might not answer our prayers in the way we want exactly. We saw that with Martha last week, who pleaded with Jesus to command Mary to help her serve. But he will answer them in the way that is best for us, just as any good father would do. My youngest, Felicity, entreats me for ice cream all the time, constantly, all day long. And usually, I don't give her ice cream, right? Because I'm a good father. She does not know what she needs. She's a toddler. Sometimes I give her ice cream, but usually I give her either a straight no or something like, "How about some peanut butter crackers instead?" Right? Something that is more healthful for her. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. Jesus' parable, which follows the Lord's Prayer, teaches us to be persistent and constant in our prayers. Not because our Father in heaven does not know our needs. Not because he needs to be roused from his slumber in order to give us good things like the neighbor did. But the point is the opposite. It is a comparison from the lesser to the greater. If even your neighbor, who is evil, will give you good things because you are persistent, how much better it will be to take your cares to the Father above, who already has given you all things in Jesus Christ, his Son. As St. Paul says, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Now, if prayer is a gift, and we see by Jesus' example and admonition that we should be in intentional prayer often, that it is a habit, a custom, a form of life for the Christian. How do we do that? If we want to let our Father speak to us through His Word and speak back to Him in prayer, what kind of discipline is needed? Of course, at the very basis, at the very start of that is simply come to church, right? Gather with the saints, hear the Word of God in the liturgy, in the lection, and in the preaching. Receive His gifts and lift your prayers together with your fellow saints to your Father on high. But for a daily discipline, Luther gives some good advice in his small catechism. He draws on the Old Testament discipline of prayer that God had prescribed for His people of Israel. Luther suggests using the natural rhythms of your life as a guide, just as the liturgy of the church year shapes the course of the year and the week, so there should be an ordered liturgy for your day. Luther tells us, when you first get up in the morning, start with prayer before you do anything else. Cross yourself and invoke the name of the Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then kneeling or standing, Luther says, pray the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, and let these guide your prayers for that day. Then sing a hymn and go joyfully about your day. And what do you do two or three times a day? You have to pause and eat. And what better time than when you're eating to turn your eyes to the Lord who gives your food at the proper time and opens His hands to satisfy the desires of every living thing. So Luther says, ask a blessing upon each meal and return thanks when the meal is done. And Luther's own prayers in the Small Catechism are a great example for that. And just as you started the day with prayer, likewise Luther says to end in the same way, by crossing yourself, calling upon the name of the Trinity, kneeling down, and then let the Creed and the Lord's Prayer guide your reflections upon the day and all that you pray for the coming day and the night. Then go to sleep at once in good cheer. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you hear the prayers of your dear children and care for all their needs of body and soul. We come before you with our petitions, unburden our hearts from the weights of our sins and troubles, and give us faith to live in the light of your promises. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have bestowed a high honor and duty upon your church by teaching her to pray and promising to hear her. Bless our pastors and their prayers for your people, and hear us all as we offer our petitions in the name of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, you have called the hearts of the fathers to their children by bringing your Son into our world. Nurture the life of prayer in the homes of your people, that we all would know the full blessing of your fatherly care. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have ordered the nations that men would seek after you. Curb the wickedness of this world, embolden the witness of the righteous, and make our nation a repentant and faithful place where your gracious presence is welcomed with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous Lord, you do not wink at wickedness, and you promise that your patience with evil will not last forever. As you punished Sodom and rescued Lot in the days of old, save your people today and vanquish our enemies. Give us prayerful hearts to leave all vengeance in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you promise to hear our prayers and through them to involve us in your divine plan. As you heard and considered the prayers of the faithful Abraham, hear our prayers on behalf of Pauline, Kelly, Sean, Kirk, Edie, Joyce, Angie, Grace, Kirsten, Jordan, Aubrey, Patricia, and all who suffer. Spare their lives, and through all things draw them ever closer to you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing and look to you as the giver of all good gifts. Make us ever eager to come to you in prayer and thanksgiving. As your Son has taught us, by your Holy Spirit, bring us to behold in Christ the fulfillment of those things for which we pray, your holy name, your coming kingdom, daily bread, forgiveness, shelter in temptation, and deliverance from every evil. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Endowment Committee will be meeting after service today, so if you're part of that, please join in the meeting. The Fall Supper planning has begun. If you are able to lend a helping hand, please see Karen to talk to her about that. The Friends of Winnikin Ice Cream Social is today at 2 to 5. Details in the bulletin, as well as details about the upcoming Tin Caps game for the off-year Shum family reunion celebration. And keep bringing in those tabs from your cans for Ronald McDonald House. Let's see here. Then fall classes for the seminary. Oh, yep, classes don't begin until September, but they're still seminarians, so donations for the co-op are still welcomed. Any announcements that need to be made that I have missed? Depart in peace.